Who else? Who's here?
Darlene. Hi.
Hi, Darlene. And who else? Trinity?
Yes.
And who
Hi,
else?
Trinity.
And who else? So we've got Bonnie, Darlene, Trinity. Did somebody else come on? No? Okay. Hi, everybody. Hi, Darlene.
Hi.
Hi.
Chantel, what video were you talking about? The one with
the Madeline Black,
Madeline
so as
Black video? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna buy it and watch it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just ordered. I've been feeling a little bit like I need to it's funny how these things go, you know. I mean, you and I, Trinity, were just in Colorado really not that long ago, learning and taking stuff in, and I was just having this feeling like in the last day or two, like, man, I need to do some studying. And so I just bought like $150 worth of books, and you know, it's just silly. Actually just replacing some books that I lent out and have never gotten back, like my Liz Koch Psoas book and one of my Eric Franklin books. And then I just ordered Madeline's new book, Centered. Bonnie, you have that, right? You've been talking about that, haven't you?
Yes, I do have it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of information, but great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Well, it's feeling like I needed to restock my library, so I'm excited about that. And I thought, well, what the heck? It's only $40. I'm going to see what this is all about. Anyway, who else just came on? Somebody's there, but I can't really hear you.
Can you hear me? This is Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly. I can barely hear you.
I'm turning up, working out a new headset to see how this is that better?
Just a tiny bit better. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Jill. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Jill. Oh, no, you're perfectly on time. We're all just, we're just hanging out.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah. Hi. Oh, good. Glad to hear so many of you. I know it was a challenge for some folks today, so we're going to go ahead and get started. I've been on the phone a lot today, and I have come down with a pretty nasty cold this morning, so I might, Trinity and I spoke earlier today, and we were just talking about some really cool ideas. So at some point, Trinity, I might give over the lead to you so I can not be talking quite so much.
Okay.
Just, you know, spare myself. It's starting to actually feel pretty uncomfortable, my throat. So, but what I would like to do is, we had a great workshop on Saturday, and, thank you to all of you who were
Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. thank you to all of you who were able to make it. And my apologies to those of you who were anticipating the streaming, watching, joining in, streaming. We just came up against a major roadblock that would never have occurred to me would be an issue, which is that we really did not have any Wi-Fi connection. And I've taught in Ann's studio hundreds of times, and because we have a little iPad that runs MBO, and we've never had an issue with the internet, I have not ever, never occurred to me to even ask if there was internet connection, because of course there was. So that's why we weren't able to stream the workshop, which was a disappointment to me, and I'm sure to some of you. So I apologize about that, but the videos will be up probably by early next week, and you'll get to watch all of the shenanigans. We had a great time. We talked the whole time about the hip and pelvis and psoas. Anne presented a little bit on some really great hands-on alignment strategies for students and teaching awareness of neutral, awareness of hip creasing or hip flexion, you know, anteriorly tipping the pelvis. We just did some really cool stuff. So I'll be excited for you guys all to access that either for the first time or in review. But here's what I'd like to do is if we can go through, we'll do our check-in. We did this at the end of the workshop, but I think now that we've had a chance to sit with it for a few days, those of you who were at the workshop, if you would say, share your big takeaway and or maybe some insight or experience you've had so far this week working with the material, that would be great. And for those of you who were not able to attend the workshop, you can either pose a question or if you have been working just from the material that we've posted on the Facebook page in any way, or you have some interesting bit of information to share about the hip or pelvis or anything like that, you can share that. Otherwise, you could just kind of tell us how you're showing up today. That would be great. So I'm going to go ahead and start with Bonnie because she came on first. So Bonnie, whenever you're ready.
Hi, everyone. I guess I will share how I am doing right now. One thing that was great this past week was some of you know I have a very small studio. It's just myself that teaches there. And I had 3 new clients come in 1 week. So that was very exciting.
Yay.
And and how I'm feeling this week is I'm a little, I've got to start focusing on one thing again. I'm just getting a little, with all this information that I like to gather, mm-hmm. I get a little like get my hands in all the pot again, and I've got to kind of bring myself right back to that one thing.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Such a great reminder for all of us. One thing, focusing on one thing. Very good. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you. Darlene, do you want to go next?
Sure. Boy, that was so appropriate for me, the one thing, because I feel like that a lot. I'm always trying so many new things all at once
mm-hmm.
and experimenting, but things are going pretty well, but I like that idea of the one thing. And I think I'll just leave it at that since I wasn't at the workshop. I'm just very curious and eager to hear the information and see the video.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great. Thanks, Darlene. Well, we missed you on Saturday, but glad to hear your voice today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Trinity, do you want to check in?
Yes. As far as the workshop on Saturday goes, and maybe you can help me with the wording that how you had put it, was the relationship between the low back and the feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you said it was, I want to say neurologically, but I know that's not right. Something to do with the nervous system, though.
Yeah. We read that passage from the Philip Beach book that talked about the real situation, the link between the soles of the feet, the pelvic floor, and the low back. So it really comes down to that the same nerves that innervate the feet, the skin of the soles of the feet, are linked directly to the pelvic floor and the deep spinal muscles. So there's...
Yes, and I just found that right here where you had posted it too.
Yeah.
So that was a really... nice thing to put together in my mind. And then, you know, as some of you know, I'm in Bend this week. I'm in Bend, Oregon with my family. And so while I was here, I signed up to take some private sessions with a teacher. And my work with her, I've been trying to directly relate to a lot of what we discussed at that workshop, which applies to my own body as far as the desire to squat all the way, which is something we touched on in we used that as a tool at the workshop. I was able to use that information about soles of the feet, pelvic floor, low back
with my sessions with this teacher I've been working with in Bend. So that was my major takeaway. There was another small piece that Anne had brought up about sciatic pain specifically is, and this is just, a technique thing, is to use the clam series to alleviate sciatic pain. And I've been just kind of thinking about that so far because, like she had mentioned at the workshop that, maybe a lot of our thought is to go right into a figure four or a pigeon stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, just, I like that. The thought of using an exercise versus a stretch to alleviate that potentially sciatic pain.
Yeah.
So those are my two pieces that I'm thinking of right now. I know there's more.
Yeah. No, that's the great.
I'm thinking of at the moment.
Yeah, great. And we can talk more about that. We can review that exercise and review it for those of you who were there and then introduce it for those of you who have not seen it. And we could talk a little bit more about the value of doing the exercise versus going straight toward the meat. Yeah, we did talk about that kind of at length toward the end of the day on Saturday. So great. Thank you. Let's see. Kimberly, you want to do your check-in?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I guess if I were to do a word, I think it would be effervescent. I'm really excited. I'm leaving Friday to go to Atlanta for a Lisa Nichols event. So just some really cool things have taken off in the business. It's just been awesome. So effervescent.
Effervescent. I love it. And you're going to Atlanta for a what kind of event? It's still a little bit hard to hear you.
I'm sorry. Lisa Nichols just wrote a new book called Abundance Now.
Okay.
And I'm going, her whole thing was Pay It Forward. So if you bought the book, you got free entry into the conference. So I'm going to that.
Awesome. Awesome. Motivating the masses.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Cool. I'm going to post this link on the Facebook page.
Cool.
Yeah. Abundance Now. Right on. I like to, it's fun to share with one another what we're all about, what we got going on, what we're excited about. So, cool. Good deal. Thank you. Excited for you too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Jill?
Hi.
Hi.
So Saturday for me was so much fun and so enlightening that, I mean, it's hard for me right now to remember everything that touched me, but I think a couple of the more specific things were just talking about the bony rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we can get to the point where we can align the bony rhythm, then things start to fall into place muscularly.
Yeah.
And also the fact that, same as what you were talking about, with starting at the soles of the feet.
Yes.
And going up through the pelvic floor and the low back. Because my husband has a lot of low back pain. So I'm always trying to figure out ways to help him. So that was very, very exciting to me. And I'm, looking forward to digging into it a little bit deeper once
it is posted. Yeah, great. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thank you.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah, that was definitely a big piece of what we talked about on Saturday. And it's pretty phenomenal, actually. The feet, the link, and I did on the Facebook forum, for those of you who may have not seen it, I took a picture of the section in the Philip Beach book, and it's actually not an amazing picture. I might try to take it again, of the section I had highlighted that specifically talks about the innervation between the feet and the low back and pelvic floor. Some really, really concrete evidence as to the relationship of those two things beyond just the normal biomechanics, right, of improving the function of the feet, which then improves the ankles, the knees, the hips, posture of the spine. You know, there's a lot of value in just addressing feet and walking for overall health and function. But now we have a much deeper link between how the feet are working, the shoes that we wear, you know, even just giving us more, giving footwork more potency, rather than just having it be something that we do as a warm-up, but really using it as a gateway to improving whole-body health. And the bony rhythms, certainly, I feel like, are a very important aspect of what we talked about, too. Great. Thank you, Jill. And then who else is on the call? Did I miss anybody?
Debbie.
Oh, Debbie. Hi, Debbie. You want to do a little check-in for us?
Sure, yeah. So I tried to, you know, watch or listen to the conference on Saturday. And then so I was on with Jeannie and I think Bonnie and Sarah, or maybe, yeah, I think it was, there were four of us, I think, that were signed in.
Yeah.
And so some of us stayed on for a bit and chatted for a little bit. And Jeannie and I actually had a really great talk. We talked about symphysis pubis disorder.
Yes, right.
I have a young friend. I don't know if she was able to get you a question on Saturday, but we talked about maybe texting you a question to see if you would answer it, you know, at the workshop. But, you know, having a younger friend who's pregnant for her first time and has to wear a belt and has extreme pain in her pelvic floor. And then Jeannie told us that she was telling me that, you know, she also had it after her baby was born.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because we kind of addressed that and how do you deal with that? You know, what type of exercises do you give someone to strengthen, you know, during their pregnancy? And so so that's kind of a little adventure that I'm on.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually spoke with Jeannie today, following up with her because she did send me a question about symphysis pubis disorder, or sometimes known as pelvic girdle pain. And mm-hmm. we chatted a little bit, and so, I'd be happy to talk about that today too. So, we'll see kind of where, our conversation, takes us. But yeah, that was very, very cool. Glad you guys were able to connect around that, Debbie.
Yeah.
Even though our streaming live situation was not a success. Oh, well. Okay, great. Well, thank you, everybody. So let's see. Let me pull up my notes really quick here. Trinity and I were talking this morning about some of our takeaways from the workshop. And I think one of the things that, a couple of things that kind of framed the entire day, although we did a lot of practical experiential stuff working to improve the whole hip and pelvis complex and the premise that we were working under in terms of a movement approach was address the connective tissue first. So priming the body, which is something I've been talking about for a while, you know, in our calls and our workshops and, it, you know, kind of about for a bit. So preparing the body, you know, this idea that when our students come in, they're coming in, they're like a chalkboard, right? Just smeared with writing and pictures, and you can't actually see the chalkboard anymore. And one of the things that we can do that we're obligated to do, in my opinion, is to clear the chalkboard, right? We have to clear the slate in order to prepare the body for movement that's actually going to be powerful, lasting, and that we can build upon, that's going to stick and be truly integrated for our students. So clearing the chalkboard, clearing the slate looks like addressing the connective tissue. So connective tissue first, right? That also correlates to rolling or releasing, opening, right? We need to open the body first if we want it to be receptive to taking on any new habit or diminishing poor habits. So the tool that we used in the workshop was rolling out the feet. Again, that little snippet from the Philip Beach book is posted on the Facebook forum. You can read that. Talks about the link, the deep, deep intrinsic link between the feet, the pelvic floor, and the low back muscles. So connective tissue first, opening up, clearing the slate, priming the body. And then the second thing was looking at the bony rhythms. So we talked a lot on Saturday about understanding the bony rhythms and how the joints naturally want to move. And when we open the body up by priming it, by addressing the connective tissue, we then automatically promote greater organization of the bones moving, the joints moving, bones interacting with one another. And when we do that, when we're truly moving the body in honor of the bony rhythms, right, the way that the skeleton is designed to move, then the muscles have an opportunity to automatically recruit in a way that's balanced and efficient. And we have to do less. We actually have to do less cueing. We have to do less, apply less effort. We have to work not as hard in terms of repetitions to get a valuable effect in the muscle tissue. So it was that three-step thing in terms of priorities: connective tissue, bony rhythms, and then looking at strengthening the muscles or strengthening the patterns, whether that's about mobility or stability. Typically, it's a combination of the two. Definitely, it's about that strengthening happens last. It does not happen first. Anybody want to jump in and say anything about that? Anything to add? Any insights from the workshop? Does that make sense to you? Yeah, I guess so. Okay. The other thing that Trinity and I were talking about is this idea of cueing the body in a way that works from the outside in rather than the inside out. And this is something that Anne brought up, which is that it's easier for most people, most of our students, to use their eyes, right, their sense of sight and their sense of touch to develop an outer experience, an outer felt experience, or just experience period of movement that then can be translated into the interoceptive experience, right? The inner experience of feeling the body. So it's interesting because it's a little bit of proprioceptive awareness because it is about where the body is in space. So we're developing that from in the beginning, the outside, right? But we do that by our eyes, having the students look at where their body is in space. And we do that by having them touch themselves where we want movement to be happening, or we touch them. That's developing a kind of a lower level awareness of the body. It's also developing proprioception, right, where the body is in space, the felt sense of where the body is in space. So we develop those things first with our cueing because it's most accessible, and then that more effectively leads to the inner felt sense, the interoceptive experience. So where the student can begin to feel, oh yes, that's my shoulder blade being drawn wide across my back by the serratus coming forward, hugging the rib cage, that leap, making that leap is not always easy for people. So we had a very cool, we had some very cool things that Anne showed us. And maybe I'll let Trinity step in. And then Trinity, if you want to talk a little bit about what Anne shared with us in terms of the teacup. And then if anybody else wants to add or has questions, this was specifically about helping a new student find neutral, but not only find neutral, but establish these lower levels of awareness, and begin to develop deeper levels of awareness. So Tran, you want to go ahead and take over?
Sure. So she actually had teacups with saucers there, and I want to point out something that Chantel just said, is that this would be a tool for new students, not necessarily somebody, well, maybe, not necessarily somebody that's, you know, a well-versed Pilates student, but she used a teacup on the lower belly, so between the pubic bone and the navel, the pubic bone and the belly button, and she cued, you know, tilt movements, a little posterior tilt, a little anterior tilt, to bring awareness to when the teacup was level. And what she kept referring to, as far as my recollection, is look at the teacup, look at the teacup, look at the teacup. And that's what Chantel was just saying about use your eyes, as a student, you want to, when we're working with these new students, you want to have them look at what's happening in their own bodies. So the teacup was a tangible something to look at, because in my mind, if you just told somebody to look at their pelvis, that wouldn't quite, I think a lot of people would be confused by that, kind of lost by it. So Anne really suggested, like, keeping a teacup in your studio and using it with your new students. So using it as something to give them feedback for when they're, obviously they're supine. So when they're in a slight posterior tilt versus an anterior tilt versus what would be, you know, what would be neutral in that position, which would be a level teacup. And I actually do have a question about that, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like that would be affected. That could be affected by a person's actual
shape.
Body shape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe you wouldn't use it with every student?
Yeah, I think that's true. She also, there were a couple of other things she suggested. Well, she mentioned also that there's a teacher, Brett Howard, who works with kids, who uses rubber duckies to do the same thing. And I think that's, you know, that would work too. And maybe somebody who's a little bit heavier, who, you know, either like it wouldn't work to put a teacup on the belly, or I don't know, for whatever reason, rubber ducky seems like a funny, fun, casual, kind of humorous thing. Like that could totally work. She did talk about actually filling the teacup with water, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
You know, like if you're going to go for it, might as well go for it 100%. And then yes, she had the student curling up head, neck and shoulders into an abdominal curl, because she was also not only having them look at the teacup to see if it had moved, but what very clearly directing the student not to move the teacup out of the balance position as they came into an abdominal curl. That they were aware. What's that?
I was forgetting those pieces.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, about the abdominal curl.
Yeah. Right. And then the continuous cueing of, look at the teacup. What's the teacup doing? Keep it balanced. So that's the visual awareness, right? That's the awareness. It's proprioceptive awareness that's developed through the eyes, right? Because that's what we have you know, that's like so accessible to people who have diminished proprioception, essentially lacking body awareness. She also had the students put their fingertips at their hip creases at some point so that they could look at the cup, see the cup moving, and deepen the hip crease, right? So feel the hip crease moving as the pelvis tipped anteriorly. See it, feel it with the fingertips, listen, connect the words. So there's this really straightforward but beautiful layering process of awareness. And I thought that was one of my big takeaways from the day, of just really being able to step back and go, oh yes, this is a layering process. I was telling Trinity earlier that for me, I rarely have difficulty getting somebody to have that inner experience. I think it's something I've always been quite good at. So for me, I sometimes, because I don't struggle with that, I sometimes forget that this is truly the most valuable way to build awareness for our students, especially our new students. So I really, really appreciated that so much. And I think it can come into play in a variety of places. And I don't know, Bonnie, if you want to talk about your gal. Bonnie and I were talking yesterday about a client that she has, a student that she has, who is in verbal agreement of a correction. Bonnie will give a correction. The student will say, yes, yes, I understand, I get it. And yet there's no actual physical response or change in the body whatsoever. And I wonder, Bonnie, what you think about these tools. Now, you and I talked about some strategies, but what about these tools for getting her to actually respond? And you can answer in just 1 second, but the reason I'm bringing it up is because I think, you know, Trinity mentioned this is for a new student, which I agree, these are layering tools for new students. But when we have a student who's struggling, maybe they're very adept in a lot of ways, but they're struggling with an aspect, a particular movement, we can pull in these strategies to help them reframe, you know, what the objective is. So really just so much value here. Bonnie, what do you think? You want to say a little bit about your student and this situation?
Sure. I actually got very excited when I heard looking from the outside in rather than the inside out. And I immediately thought of that student of mine who, you know, I think all of us probably have some of those students that just really have a hard time connecting from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
So could you refresh my mind? Is Ian the one that teaches the
body brain?
Yeah.
Body brain connect.
Outside in, this is how the brain best learns. For people?
I am sure there is some science behind it. Essentially what Anne said is that it for people who are not body aware, working from the outside in it's a much more effective path because you're not assuming inner awareness. So I'm sure that there is something going on, like in the somatomotor cortex, that is in agreement with this, although I don't know exactly what that is.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, and I'm very excited because I'd like to start thinking about that a little bit more, working with this specific person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know I do cue a lot, very internal, but a lot of people just can't connect with that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a combination of maybe starting with this for her might actually work really well.
Yeah. It's just occurring to me too, that what Bonnie and I also discussed as strategies was that sometimes you have to take the kind of hard line approach with folks who are having difficulty making the action happen, like using more forceful cues that you would not normally use, right? Like squeezing a walnut between the shoulder blades, or like being a little bit more firm with your hands on cueing, exaggerating the effort that's needed. The other thing I was just thinking is that perhaps if, for instance, the challenge is getting them to activate, let's say, mid and lower traps, in an exercise like, just even it could be a basic like rocket arms, right, where you're on your tummy and you lift the head and chest and you elevate the arms up behind you so the shoulder is an extension. Or it could be that final phase of movement in pulling straps where you're dragging the arms back along the carriage, along the box, the chest lifts, the arms pull all the way back, the shoulder goes into extension. That really at the end there, we're wanting the shoulder blades to rotate down and in, and a real strong drawing down and together. That if that's not happening, you may experiment with having the person sit up and having them watch you do it, and either just stand up and have them put their hands on your shoulder blades while you do the action, or you actually get into the position and do the exercise and have them put their hands on your shoulder blades as you do the exercise, pointing out to them verbally what is happening. I think it just brings up a really valuable point, which is that sometimes and frequently we have to work from the outside in order to build the awareness from the inside out. And so, that's some great nuggets there for you, Bonnie, and for really for everybody, right? For all of us. So valuable. Does anybody have any questions about that or any thoughts about how that might be helpful? Or
Chantel, this is Trinity. Mm-hmm. I just have one thought on that. As far as I took a workshop with Anne quite some time ago, and I remember her saying, and I'm hoping this will be helpful. It's along the same lines, of course, of working from the outside in, was I remember her saying, talking about helping students orient themselves using the room.
Yeah.
So when I was teaching, when I had my studio, I would say a lot of things like face the front door.
Yeah.
Turn towards the back wall.
Yeah.
But those kinds of things. So you're using, like she's using the teacup, watch the teacup, accommodate for it. So that's kind of a broader, I feel like that's broader, not so focused as the teacup, but that's a piece of that as well, is helping people orient, especially if they're having tricky for them to connect into move to your right, move to your left.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things to use the room to help people figure out where they are in time and space.
Yeah. It's very much in alignment with what we're talking about, and such a good tool to use, right, rather than right or left, but using the geography of the room to guide the student. Yeah, perfect. Anything else? Anybody else? Is this feeling valuable, interesting? You're on board? You guys are quiet today. Trinity, why don't you go ahead and share what you've been doing with Jessica in terms of squatting and the psoas, and then specifically how we were talking about framing and layering. So when you're teaching either a new exercise that brings to light maybe a new concept or movement in the body, or you're reteaching a familiar exercise with a new focus or concept. What happens when you frame it, right? This is her having you stand on the wedge, do the squat, and then go to short spine. And then you layer in the new concept to the choreography that's either new or familiar. Either way, it doesn't matter. If you can talk a little bit about that, because it's relevant to the work we did in the pelvis, so we can talk more about the psoas. But let's, if you want to share a little bit about that, and we'll see where that takes us, because I think it's very interesting, particularly with the way she was cueing you to do the side-lying legs and how that activates the whole sling that we were talking about on Saturday, the psoas, like a sling that really supports the leg, rather, so that movement happens from the deep core, right? Leg movement happens from the deep core rather than leg movement happening just from the hip socket.
Yes. So I've scheduled 4 private sessions for myself with this teacher. Her name's Jessica Schwartz. And Chantel and I had met her this last summer in Colorado, and she just happens to live here in Bend. So I scheduled with her. And in my own body, I struggle with access to my external hip rotators, hip extenders. I have a tight, weak right psoas. And, you know, my dream is to one day squat all the way down without my heels lifting. So just to kind of give you a little insight into what I told her in our first session, these are the things that I kind of wanted to work on. And especially since we had just come from this workshop on hip, pelvis, psoas, pelvic floor, feet, all of those things. So let's see. She, at one of our classes, so she talked also about a real strong doming of the foot. So, and that connection to the pelvic floor. So one of the things, organize my thoughts here just a little bit. One of the things she had me do was she had me use a foot corrector. And towards the end of one of our sessions, she had me use a foot corrector and really create this doming up of the foot. And if anybody needs to interrupt me, chime in, ask a question, please do. So this real strong doming up of the foot using the foot corrector, and I don't know if you guys have used it. I have to be honest, it was the first time I'd ever used one. And so instead of just a sense of plantar flexing the foot and pushing the foot corrector down, it's this doming so that it's almost like the top of the foot moves upward while the ball of the foot moves downward. So it's not just a pointing of the toe. So then in my very beginning of my next session, we did footwork with that in mind. So it's this real pushing through the foot. And what she would tell me was, say I'm in a, you know, Pilates V and I'm across the balls of the feet. She would say, using my in-breath, just put weight in the balls of the feet and put weight and keep putting weight and keep putting weight and keep putting weight, and then just let the legs extend from there. And I'll tell you what, it is footwork. It my feet had to work really, really hard for that, to make that happen. And then she would layer in this piece of, now just notice with that real strong doming of the foot that's happening, what's happening in the pelvic floor. And don't try to change it or make something happen or force something to happen, but just have an awareness around the relationship between the sole of the foot, this doming of the foot, and the pelvic floor. So it was just a matter of noticing. Then another thing that she had me do was side-lying leg series on the Cadillac table.
so body long up against the back of the table, bottom leg at an angle, and then top leg in the strap. And the same thing that we talked about on Saturday, and I know that all of you guys weren't there, but when you get into your side lying position, to reach through that top foot to get your pelvis square, and those are my words, those are not the words that Anne used when she was talking about this, but reaching through that top leg, long, 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 to get the hips square, so you feel that automatic lift of the bottom waistline, and then you also draw the top arm downward so that you get this, you know, even side bodies. So what she had me do with leg kicks was she would have me go take the, extend the leg behind me. And then as I started to come forward, she didn't have me just move the leg forward. She would have me find the sense of posteriorly tilting my pelvis. And it's slight. It's not a real rock backward, but with that slight posterior tilt of my pelvis, what happens is I draw the leg forward from the psoas versus just your hip flexors. So it is a movement from this really, really deep core, and not just, it's deep. It's not just use the hip flexors, your more superficial hip flexors. I almost can't even describe it, and it left me a little speechless. It felt really incredible to access that in a way that in my immediate memory, I can't remember accessing it quite like that, in that way. So that actually ties in with, I'm getting ahead of myself again, because I want to touch on, I want to touch on bony rhythms too, which is something else.
Well, let me interject real quick, Trinity, if you will. So this idea of moving the leg, right, really having the leg feel rooted and connected into the pelvis more via the psoas, right, that attaches up along the lumbar spine rather than just to the hip socket, which... The difference for me is that one relies on intrinsic work of the psoas itself, and when we do that, we're much more connected to the deep core, the transverse abdominis, the multifidi, and the pelvic floor. When we work the leg just from the hip socket, so we're lifting the leg just from the hip socket, it tends to relate more to the superficial hip flexors of rectus femoris, TFL, you know, iliacus. That's still a deep hip flexor, but it ends up getting kind of tied in to that more superficial movement. So it's very interesting, this concept, I think, of relationship between femur and pelvis, where we want to, we did a lot of work on Saturday to create freedom and mobility and release and openness, lubrication, so you could feel the differentiation of the femur inside the hip socket. If that's so crucial, that's like that. That's about that's the connective tissue piece. That's the bony rhythm piece. And then, but all of that has to be done first in order for that deep stability to be built. Right, mobility has to come before stability. So it's really quite brilliant. And there's an exercise that we did in the workshop, which is that Eric Franklin, that non-Pilates exercise, the single leg bicycling, which is the eccentric strengthener of the psoas. This is a brilliant pre-exercise to teaching sideline leg work the way Trinity is talking about it. Anything that would open and or tune the psoas would be really important here. And just to back up and reinforce, working with the foot corrector is essentially like working with the football and doing highly focused articulated work with footwork, right? So these are all entry points into priming the body and preparing the body for more appropriate movement. So I just want to make sure that that thread, you guys can see that thread happening here.
The other thing related to something that you just said, hang on. Another thought that came up for me when you were talking about the intrinsic movement, you know, versus the you know, the more superficial hip flexors is that, and this is just my own little take on it, is that it felt delightful. It was hard work, but it felt delightful. It was like connecting into a part of the body that we just don't connect into. We hardly even know it's there. We don't know how to use it. And then, you know, which is why during the workshop I asked you to take us through that practice where you actually feel your own psoas.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, maybe this is a little woo-woo, but from my take on things is that it needs us to love it and use
yeah.
it. And that working that way with Jessica was very delightful. I giggled a lot, even though I was working really hard. I giggled a lot through our session. And then, do you want me to talk about the short spine too? You want me to wrap up with the short spine? Because that was really maybe the funnest.
Yeah, because I think, I think because what's relevant in terms of, teaching skill, right? Skill, the way we can skillfully teach a concept is, I love all the pieces that we're bringing in, right? The power of appropriate verbal cueing, the power of appropriate manual cueing, of self-touch, of self-seeing. And it ties into what you're about to talk about, which what we identified in our conversation earlier today was that it is how you frame a concept before you teach it, right? So it's framing and then layering. What Trinity is about to tell you is that Jessica was wanting to teach her a different version of short spine, which is actually one that I frequently teach in order to enhance squatting. But what she did is instead of just getting Trinity on the reformer to teach her the new version, she took her out of the exercise and framed the concept in a very direct way and then layered it in to the exercise for optimal effect. So that's
yes.
that's what
so
we're talking about.
What she did was she had me stand on a wedge with my heels lifted and my toes on the floor. And she had me squat just like we do, right, from the hip, really, you know, like what Chantel calls it, that hip thigh. So she has you squat, and she has you make sure that your knees are above your ankles, which in this instance is pretty darn valuable. It's not always the case, but in this instance, it was pretty valuable for her to teach it to me like that while I was standing. So she has me squat all the way down as I'm continuing to try to keep pressure in my heels, right? Because the inclination is for the heels to lift even a little more than even though I was on the wedge. So have me squat all the way down and feel that real deep, deep hip crease. And if she talked a lot about when your legs start to bend, when your hips start to fold, you want to focus on this lengthening of the spine. So everything's folding, hips, you start with the hips, knees, ankles, but the spine's getting longer, 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 longer as you go down, and then your tail curls under. So on the way down, she talked about real big stretch across the sacrum, an opening of the pelvic floor, and then that curl at the very bottom where the tail's going to curl under a bit and to really feel that low back stretch.
And then on the way up, like, you're just going up like you're an elevator. So you're going straight back up. The knees stay right over the ankle. So she took me through these pieces. And I wish I could remember her specific cues, but she gave me some time to notice the pieces of what's happening. Then she put me on the reformer for short spine, and she had me take my legs nice and low, lower than 45, because I expressed the desire to stay in my external hip rotators and my hip extenders. So she had me take the legs really low. Then as I brought the legs up right away, she had me lift my tail as well. So I could still stay in my hips and my external rotators. So I go up all the way. She had me take the carriage all the way home. Then she had me squat my knees down and really deeply, deeply into the chest. And when I brought my knees deeply into my chest, she cued me into, for lack of better term, keeping my hips high, almost lifting my hips up a little higher as I pulled my knees right down to frame my face. And you get to that place where it almost feels like there's nowhere for the breath to go because you're so in a deep, what is a deep squat.
Mm-hmm.
So then it offers you this opportunity to find the breath in the back, which she had also touched on when I was standing and squatting. And then she had me roll my hips away from my legs, which would have been the part where I was standing up, roll my hips away from my legs, and then the legs shoot out. So when you can't go anymore, then you bring the legs right down towards the tail, and then get your tail all the way down, and then the legs go out. So she framed it when I was standing and could make sense of things and give me some time to notice things. Then she put me in, you know, what's upside down and inside out and, you know, moving carriage and the whole thing.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's great stuff. So many of you have done.
I'm sure I'm not forgetting anything because I get excited.
No, I think the important pieces for me are just this framing of what she was. It's like, here's the translation, right? Let me show it to you. Let me have you experience it standing up. It's the squat. You're familiar with it. It's easy to achieve. And I think you said this, and we spoke about this. We talked about this earlier, which is when you frame a concept this way outside of the complexity of the movement, you give the body an opportunity to really distinguish the sensations without the often overwhelm of trying the effort that's needed to get something new done or the disorientation that can come from being upside down or inside out or twisted, right, or having our eyes kind of in a different placement. So you really giving the body this opportunity to have the experience, distinguish it, anchor into it, and then once that's established, then you take it into the more complex choreography, and it's much more you're much more able to integrate. And I love that. I love that. And I think many of us will reflect and see that we do that in small ways, but to hold it as a purposeful teaching tool, I think, is incredibly powerful. And then the other thing about the difference in the way that you come into short spine from you're not letting the legs come to 90 and then letting them fold over you and keeping your tail down, which is a lovely variation, right? That's a lovely way to do it. So you get that real deep back body stretch, which is, excuse me, really important for a lot of folks. However, this other way of really engaging the base of the pelvis, the back of the body, to elevate the legs and hips simultaneously as soon as possible is also a very, very powerful way to integrate the psoas, the legs into the deep pelvis, It reminds me of the moment in, you know, of teaser where we're having to really support the weight of the legs from the strength of the back body and the pelvis. So it's a wonderful version. It's a wonderful way of making those connections. So, yeah, great. Thank you, Trinity, for sharing all of that.
Oh yes. It's really been good because, you know, just coming off that workshop with you guys on Saturday and then being able to work with her, and she's definitely a teacher that sees the body. She's, you know, she doesn't, from what I can tell, she's not teaching from some kind of preconceived, I don't know, just, I'm not sure. I felt like I was very seen, and that she was able to really stay focused and keep connecting me back to exactly what I was there to do, which is good for me because for my own self, I get scattered.
Uh-huh.
I get all over the map, which ties all the way back into the very first part of the phone call, with staying focused on our one thing.
Yeah. Way to bring it back around. Before we wrap up, does anybody have any thoughts or questions? Well, I hope this is exciting to you. I think this is really, really awesome teaching information, not just technical information, but really looking at how we are teaching.
Can I ask one question?
Sure, of course. No, of course. Go ahead.
I don't want to cut you off.
No, it's fine. Cut me off. I don't mind.
Just to clarify, Trinity, what you were just talking about. So mm-hmm. Your feet are in the straps at that when you were talking about that, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have to re-listen to it, but I just wasn't 100% clear, but I think I just need to kind of we listen to what, like when it's recorded. So you're like in this deep, where you're like bringing your knees really deeply, like around your head, kind of? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, you are. So in the short spine that the ways I learned two variations, you are supine on the reformer, your feet are in the long loops, you press your legs out to about a 45 in an external rotation. You leave the tail on the carriage and you bring the legs as far as they're willing to go, as far as the hamstrings and the hips will allow them to go. Then you engage through the glutes and back body, backs of the arms, and you press the legs to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So are you familiar with that one?
Oh, then yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Then you squat down into like a real, like a squat position. So anyway, it's just some slight differences of that short spine exercise is what I'm describing that she had us do.
Yeah, and so I don't know how long it would take to review that. So what part are you doing differently?
The parts that I did differently were when I extended my legs out in the very beginning, I took my legs lower than a 45-degree angle.
Uh-huh.
Then, as I start to let my legs come toward my body, so they're straight, but I'm letting them come towards my body. As mm-hmm. they're coming towards my body, I'm not folding at the hip, but I'm letting my legs come toward the body, and I'm pressing my back up off, my tail up off the carriage
uh-huh.
simultaneously.
Gotcha.
Right? So in the short spine and from the balanced body repertoire, it's leave the tail down as long as possible, fold at the hip.
Yeah.
But here, she was having me bring the legs toward me and then let the tail chase the legs. So the tail goes up with the legs kind of all in one full swoop, which is what Chantel was saying. That integrates your psoas. That brings the psoas into the mix.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And then as far as your QL too, would you say, I mean, that's kind of all connected in there together, right?
Well, your QL,
seems like, what would that be doing, Chantel? Like an eccentric contraction on the way up?
It's a stabilizer. It's a synergist, a stabilizer. It's going to be concentrically contracting. It's tricky because the pelvis is posteriorly tipped. So that actually puts the QL in elongated position, because the QL, when it's working bilaterally, is a spinal extensor. Right, so it's really working on the way up. It's working isometrically. It's just a stabilizer, so it's not really, and it's actually being eccentrically contracted to initiate the movement. So it's not really it's not a main player. It's in terms of movement, it's a stabilizer primarily in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would think too. That it was. I mean, it's involved just in the sense that everything you have is working, but
sure,
doesn't seem like a main piece of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, you guys. Well, I don't want to hold you hostage. I want to let you get off the phone and on with your day. Thank you. This was really great. We did have such a great workshop on Saturday, and I think this gives us so much fodder for our continued discussion. And I'll get those videos posted to you. I've posted a couple of additional things on the Facebook page in terms of supporting information. There is a workshop on Fusion, the Fusion Pilates website, that I hadn't seen before. That's Philip Beach doing the erector sizes and archetypal poses, which we talked about on Saturday, tuning the body. I posted that link. If you are interested in buying any of their online stuff, don't do it right this second, because I am a Fusion Pilates affiliate and I have an affiliate link that I'd love it if you would use. I just need to make sure that it's still active, because it's been a little while. But they have really been building their repertoire of material over the last year. So it's exciting to see how much they have. But that aside, we're going to be talking in the coming weeks about verbal and manual cueing. And so I'm going to be posting some homework assignments and things for us to be engaged in and talking about. So look for that. But we will definitely continue this bony rhythm discussion, you know, talking about framing and layering and just really the in-depth teaching skills is so exciting. So thank you for your time, and I'll get this call posted right away, and you can come off mute when you're ready, and we'll say our farewells and goodbyes for the moment.
Goodbye. Okay,
bye, Debbie.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Chantel and Trinity.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a great day, everybody.
Yeah.